Approaching 14 before 6 o'clock and 30 degrees and maybe things settling here, feeling more like you'd expect for January 5th, the colder weather after, I think, Jason Kansas to start the best 5 minutes of the day. I think we've been living in March the last couple of days.
Yeah, the sloppiness has certainly felt like that. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I have ventured out this morning. It has solidified some, and what happens, you know, again, it hasn't been enough snow that there's been plows out, so you go down these side streets and crunch, 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 kind of driving down there. So anyhow,
yeah,
it's okay.
I always wonder what that does to the tires and the suspension system and whatnot as you try to go 4x4ing on our side roads. So,
well, I got to tell you, I mean, I live off of Birch Street on the north side of Eau Claire, and I think we could call it Pothole City already. Yeah.
Sure, yeah.
And here it is, just very early winter, so yeah, for sure.
We got some time ahead of us yet.
Uh-huh, yeah, we do. All right, well, the start of a new day. It is a Thursday that it feels like a Wednesday. You can't help it. But that's good news because you go, hey, I'm further along in the week than I thought I was.
That's true. You know, I think the I'm still coming out of the time, because I always take that last week of the year off. And then during that time, I become just disoriented in terms of not knowing what day it is, what the date is, you know. And then, of course, we switch the calendar, so now we have to remember that it's 2023.
Right.
And, you know, so, this week where we're, you know, a day short, it's like, it's a good to remember that it's Thursday and not Wednesday today.
Yeah. I had a unique observation. I was at a gathering of small group leaders, kind of a small group leaders dinner for church last night, and it was good. And there's folks I've gotten to know, but I dove into the whole small group thing big time. I mean, I led one for just 5 weeks, that book that you initially turned me on to, Freedom of Self-Forgetfulness, Tim Keller. I'm going to do that again this coming year. But then also I've been in some groups. But it made me think, as I was looking to, you know, these are folks I've known to varying degrees, maybe even over the years. But I'm like, Jason and I do church every morning. I mean, there is a sense in which just relationships that go deep when Jesus says in... And by the way, I got the Mark of the Christian from Schaefer for Christmas. But, you know, love one another as I've loved you. This is how the world will know you're my disciples. I mean, like, thank you for being my friend, for doing relationship deep, not just here on the radio, but our breakfasts. And it's just good to know and be known, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's such a key component to what we mean by Christian community or church. And you know, we talked about that recently with the Dan White stuff. But again, that idea of community is so essential. And, you know, that's, you know, wherever two or more are gathered. And, you know, you and I have the opportunity to talk here in the mornings. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know that there's several who listen in, some who chime in on occasion. And, you know, I love that they're, you know, bearing witness to what you and I are chatting about. Mm-hmm. And that people feel free to reach out to us and say, boy, I was really touched by that. Or, you know, I have been thinking about, you know, this other thing. And that's just really neat. And I too, am really grateful for you and for the community we have.
Yeah, thank you. All right. Hey, Philippians 1, 12 through 14. What do we got there today?
Sure. It says, and I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here has helped to spread the good news. For everyone here, including the whole palace guard, knows that I am in chains because of Christ. And because of my imprisonment, most of the believers here have gained confidence and boldly speak God's message without fear.
Hmm. And from Jason's devotional commentary, Letters to the Beloved on Philippians 1, 12 through 14 reads like this. Do not be discouraged. I can and do work in all circumstances. Paul used his imprisonment to spread the gospel among the guards. His boldness also strengthened the resolve of others who are following me. When your identity is entirely in my son, there's nothing people can do to you. Criticism, prison, and even death cannot steal the joy and assurance of your salvation. You are eternally secure in my son, so live boldly. Stop worrying about what other people believe. What matters is what I think, and I am very fond of you. I like that.
Yeah, you know, for me, I have to be reminded of that belovedness piece regularly. You know, that, you know, God's love for me is unfailing. And I'm grateful for Paul's words here. And that, you know, again, it's that mutual encouragement piece. Mm-hmm. And, Yeah.
I am starting something new in 2023 here in the fourth year of the best 5 minutes of the day. I'm picking out something I'm going to underline every day from letters to the 11. And today it starts with criticism, prison, and even death cannot steal the joy and assurance of your salvation. And I kind of think everything after that that I read. So good stuff. Thank you very much.
Talk to you tomorrow.
There we go. We got it down now. And it only took us, you know, into the fourth year to figure this whole thing out. WWI, we'll get you back to the tunes here in a moment. But I mentioned I was at this church gathering last night. And after the evening was kind of winding down, people talked about Damar Hamlin, the Buffalo Bills safety, who, again, in critical condition. We were getting some reports that he was faring a bit better, breathing a bit better. So that's encouraging and hopeful. But this incident happened on Monday night, right? T. Higgins, the wide receiver of Cincinnati, colliding with the would-be tackler, Hamlin. Hamlin initially gets up and then collapses on the ground. You've heard about this story, and it's spread well beyond people who are sports fans. So Dan Orlovsky is a former NFL quarterback and a terrific analyst for ESPN. In their NFL live show on Tuesday, he did this.
This is a little bit different. I've heard it all day, like thoughts and prayers. And you just heard Scherf and Jonathan Allen say, like, all we can do is pray for him. And I've heard the Buffalo Bills organization say that we believe in prayer. And maybe this is not the right thing to do, but it's just on my heart that I want to pray for
it him. Is.
Damar Hamlin right now. I'm going to do it out loud. I'm going to close my eyes. I'm going to bow my head, and I'm just going to pray for him. God, we come to you in these moments that we don't understand, that are hard, because we believe that you're God, and coming to you and praying to you has impact. We're sad. We're angry. And we want answers, but some things are unanswerable. We just want to pray, truly come to you and pray for strength for Damar, for healing for Damar, for comfort for Damar. To be with his family, to give them peace. If we didn't believe that prayer didn't work, we wouldn't ask this of you, God. I believe in prayer. We believe in prayer. We lift up Damar Hamlin's name in your name. Amen.
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 Powerful. And even the headline I just saw talked about the positive social media reaction to that. And I say I happen to be listening to a 24/7 sports radio network then later on Tuesday night and after 9 o'clock, and heard somebody call the show and say, can I pray? And the host said, yeah. And the guy prayed probably 45 seconds. I mean, it was long. I was just like, you better get it. You better end it. And then he said, in Jesus' name. And I was just like, I think this is the stuff that you hear about that happens in revival.
Well, I saw this posted on social media yesterday from the Chippewa Falls School District, but again, very broadly applicable all throughout not only our listening area here in western and central Wisconsin, but really all throughout the country as well. It's ways to support teachers during the school year. And this caught my eye, Havel. They say in a blog post, January is often one of the most challenging months for our teachers. Winter break is behind them, and spring break lies far ahead. The days are short and dark. The weather is at its worst in many parts of the country, and the quote-unquote honeymoon phase of the new school year has long since worn off. Many teachers report this time of year as being the time of year when their job is absolutely the toughest.
You know, and I got to say, I mean, just for us as human beings, I mean, yeah. January, I'm like, is the sun still there? I mean, it's tough, right? The seasonal affective disorder.
We've got something planned and starting in a couple weeks to hopefully brighten everybody's days.
Well, you're always there for us. With this in mind, we want to share with you some ways you can support your teachers during the school year, but especially during this month from January all the way to March, that period that tends to be the most challenging for teachers. So let's start it off here. First of all, offer to volunteer in the classroom. Yeah. A lot of teachers welcome extra help in the classroom, whether it's for organizing activities, chaperoning field trips, preparing materials, or helping kids get ready with their work. If you have some time to spare, and I know a lot of us it's kind of tight, but if you do, consider offering to volunteer in your local school.
Ways to support our teachers: donate supplies. Teachers often use their own money to purchase supplies for their classrooms, such as paper pens and other materials. Consider donating supplies to your alma mater or to a local school or even directly to a teacher to help them out.
Third idea here from between now and March, support school fundraising efforts. A lot of schools rely on fundraising to pay for those extracurriculars, field trips, and other activities. Consider supporting your school's fundraising efforts by making a donation or taking part in the events.
Fourth tip here, advocate for education. Write letters to your elected representatives. Attend school board meetings. Stay informed about educational issues in your community. Advocate.
And finally, be involved in your child's education. One of the most important ways you can support school teachers is by being involved in your kids' education. Attend those parent-teacher conferences. Stay in touch with your child's teacher and help your child with their homework and schoolwork.
Again, five ways to support teachers in our community and our schools all throughout the great state of Wisconsin. And, hey, throughout the nation. We'll post this in the Wib Wake Up Show Facebook group as well in case you'd like it for reference. Maybe some ideas for some kindness and support.
There you go.
Well, this was a story from Monday night that almost instantaneously became a national story.
Totally.
You've heard updates on our national news broadcasts right away as well. For the Buffalo Bills in that Monday night football game, a young man, 24 years old, he plays safety for them, DeMar Hamlin. And so many of you, I'm sure, have heard about that by now, too, how he suffered a cardiac incident on the field, collapsed on the field, had to be revived or had to have his heart restarted on the field. A very, very scary incident, and continuing to hear updates that he's in critical condition in ICU there, but is improving from what we've heard, and some of the other things that are going around, some stories about the response, not only from those in attendance there, from the teams, from medical personnel there on the field and the local hospital as well, too, but also from the men who lead those football teams. And so we thought it was interesting to note here, there's two coaches, all right, and very, very powerful men. Again, there's only 32 of these jobs in the world, a head coach for an NFL football team. Zach Taylor is the head coach for the Cincinnati Bengals on one side of that game. Sean McDermott is the head coach for the Buffalo Bills and DeMar Hamlin's head coach. And so Coach Taylor of the Bengals spoke to the media yesterday and told him again after that incident, because, you know, some people are wondering, because usually there can be these injuries in the NFL and it's, well, you shake it off and you keep playing. But something was totally different in that game. And so the Bengals coach said that Sean McDermott, the coach of the Bills, told him, quote, "I need to be at the hospital for DeMar and I shouldn't be coaching this game." Taylor went on to say, quote, "Seeing the way he handled his team just deepened that respect I had for him and verified everything I always thought he was about as a man." And so many times, Salvo, isn't that in crisis, character is shown. And again, in one of the most, probably most notable and powerful jobs you can have in the world, this man, Sean McDermott for the Bills, said, "It is about this young man. That is my responsibility. Not winning or losing a game, not even being there for the rest of my team right now, but saying I need to be at his side because he's been entrusted to me as someone that I need to not only be a coach, but in so many cases, a father figure as well, too." So just a lot of respect for the way a horrible, horrible situation on that field there was handled by the men who lead those teams.
Absolutely. And something else that people have probably heard about, Jeremy Renner, who plays Hawkeye of the Avengers, he's been waiting for an update on the actor's status after he was involved in a terrifying snowplowing accident for a few days ago. The 51-year-old was airlifted to a hospital New Year's Day and late Tuesday gave a photo update on Instagram. I mean, he looks messed up more than at any time in the movies. And he says there, "Thank you for all your kind words. I'm too messed up now to type, but I send love to all."
Yeah, again, that was a really horrifying situation as well, too. Again, someone in the public eye. I certainly enjoy his characters in the Hawkeye show and the movies. And again, kind of a freak accident. He'd gotten stuck trying to help plow a path for himself and his neighbors after a massive snowstorm. And he had his leg run over by a very, very large piece of snow removal equipment, the local sheriff said. And one of Jeremy Renner's neighbors, who just so happened, again, I think, you know, these sovereign
God
things,
incidents, right?
Just so happened to be a doctor. He placed a tourniquet on his leg until paramedics arrived. It doesn't say it here, Havel, but I would think very likely that saved his life.
That's amazing. So, again, prayers for both of these guys, Hamlin and for Jeremy Renner. And let's be believing God for their recovery, huh?
Well, we all have heard about teen drivers, and especially young men, they get kind of a bad rap with insurance rates and all of that. But here's a teen driver, teen flyer, a young pilot who did something pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's right. In fact, what were you up to, Caleb, 4 months after passing your driving test?
kind of stayed just above the speed limit.
Yeah, there you go. My friends got the car more than I did. I know my mom's listening in Suburban. It was many years ago now. Well, in the world of newly qualified pilots, the stakes are a touch higher as one teenage pilot learned when his engine failed midair.
This is an 18-year-old. His name is Brock Peters from Southern California. He'd been flying his family around in a light aircraft from Apple Valley Airport to Riverside Airport there in Southern Cal when he, quote, heard a boom and then lost engine power.
Wow. In dire straits, Peters mustered everything he could recall from his emergency landing training and focused on bringing the plane down safely, especially since his grandmother and two cousins were in the small plane.
And this is what he did. Again, you need to bring it down safely on a landing strip close by when you go down unexpectedly. So what did he find? A highway. Hmm. He found a highway and landed the plane safely on the highway. And then this is very interesting to me, Havel, because, again, with the terrain, he was not able to notify a nearby airport tower, so he called his mom.
Yeah.
Right. Can you imagine that call for Brock's mom?
Oh, man.
Oh, goodness.
And it could have been her mom on the plane with him, you know?
I just love it that it's like, well, I've got to let somebody know, so I'll just tell mom that I'm going to land this plane on a highway real quick.
It's kind of like phone a friend on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire back in the day. A little different.
When you think about it, too, you tell your teens, it's like, hey, be home at such and such a time. If something comes up, you call.
Right.
You call if you're not going to be here at 10 p.m. And so it's like, you know, mom, I'm not going to be landing the airplane at the airport.
If you have troubles with that plane, do call me.
Yes.
Right? Oh, yeah. Well,
good for him.
So I just saw this on Facebook. A guy I follow, Hugh Houston, shares this. It goes like this. A psychological study found that the men who kissed their wives before going to work in the morning lived an average of 5 years longer than husbands who didn't.
Wow.
Sounds good. And I got to say, for many years in my marriage, even for the bulk of it, I've been an early morning radio guy. And so I would kiss my wife goodbye, right? I was excited to be married and still am after 24 plus years. But somewhere along the way, it changed. And to my wife's liking, now, not opposed to my kisses, hopefully, but pretty early in the morning to kiss
pretty
her goodbye.
Pretty early, yeah.
Right? I used to have to be here at 5. I need to be here, you know, I go on the air about 5:30. And so she let me know, and I didn't know, really. I mean, all those years, maybe she felt that way, but she's just like, I like it that you don't kiss me goodbye so I can sleep.
Show love in different ways.
I know. So anyhow, hopefully I can still have 5 years longer without...
See, I've got it easy because I can kiss Lindsay goodbye because I don't have to get here as early as you do.
Yeah.
But also, she's up with the baby anyway. So yeah, okay. Teddy kind of makes sure of that. And if I ever start rushing out the door, if I ever get close to forgetting, mm-hmm. Nora, who also is an early riser, will always, always remind me. Not only does she want to, and again, I just love that. She, you know, her arms held high overhead and rushes to me to give me a hug. But she tells me anytime I leave the house, she says, you have to kiss mom goodbye. She always, always, and I... Usually it's like, babe, I've already done it. But she always wants to make sure
I
do that. So
that is cool. That is really cool. Stephen Curtis Chapman with Every Little Kiss on Whip.
Well, I still remember the first time I felt the power of your kiss. It hit me like a bolt of lightning. I said I never will recover from this. And like the words from the mouth of a prophet, see those words come true. Just look at me now. I'm still reeling. With every little kiss, I'm reminded how wonderful it is to be in love with you. With every little look, with every little touch, with every little kiss.
So do you have a favorite mug, Caleb?
I think I actually have several. And Lindsay is responsible for getting me almost all the mugs. Now, I do have one from Mark Maloney, who's a great friend over on our sister station, WOGO. We've done sports broadcasting together for years and years. And so Mark is in the Air Force Reserves, and he always does Mark Maloney's military shout-outs at the half. And so while he was traveling out and about, because his two sons are in the military as well, he brought me back from Barksdale Air Force Base, brought me back a mug from there, too.
Cool.
And just really great stoneware mug, fantastic. But I have several other mugs, too, that I really enjoy. And so Lindsay has purchased them for me. My biggest mug, which makes sense. It says, like, Big Papa on it. And it's a big red, like, large mug. So lots of tea or hot chocolate in there. But also I have one that says Shroot Farms. So the office fans will know that. I have one, another one that Lindsay made for me that has a quote from Michael Scott. I think that was when I was kind of first promoted to management here that she gave me a Michael Scott quote. And yeah, I mean, that's just some of the mugs. I remember getting Lindsay in return Luke's Diner, if you like Stars Hollow and Gilmore Girls. Uh-huh. I got her a Luke's Diner mug. So nice. There's a lot of mugs. Well, I don't know. I didn't even answer your question because it's hard for me to pick a favorite because there's a lot that stick out to me.
Very good. Well, you know, for years I had a Kinship mug here at the station. It was just, I liked the color. It was a little bit grayish. It had Kinship on there. It was a gift from the late Donna Wachowski, great sister in the Lord. So many knew her and loved her. And so that was my favorite. I don't even know what happened to that. And then also, you gave me a great mug. It didn't last long. It's by my desk a few years ago. I so appreciated that with some of the words from Brendan Manning that we have before 6 weekday mornings in the call to the day. And just this year for Christmas, maybe my new favorite mug is a Rocky mug from a cousin in Colorado who visited. We saw each other for the first time in like 40 years this summer. And she sent this really, I'll bring it in and show it to you. It's a good sized Rocky mug with great words on there. But we say all this because apparently there's this story that your beverage, your hot chocolate's going to taste better if you drink out of an orange mug. What's with that?
Evidently, this is the conclusion of actual research. So 57 people came in and rated samples of hot chocolate that came in red, white, orange, and cream mugs. The samples were all the same, and while participants did not report a superior sweetness or aroma among any sample, they did describe the drink in the orange and cream mugs as more flavorful.
Well, okay. To each his own.